You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
You're incredible people, just incredible. Not on yet. How about that? There we go. That's on, right? There we go. This is for me, and this is for you. You can go ahead and amen on that one right there. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this week. And thank you for all you've meant to me, all you've done, all you've accomplished. These men up here and the men, Brother Fenner, other right over there, other, give them all a big hand, will you please? There's a crowd here, and I'm going to have them stand in a moment. But they're your leaders, they're your youth pastors, pastors, the people have taken off work from companies to be here. All the leaders that are here with your group, would you stand to your feet over here, every section, will you stand up, keep standing, 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 standing. That is amazing. God bless you. Give them a big hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so very, very much. And it's going to be a great day. I won't be long today. I'll be probably 20 minutes. I'm not a long-winded preacher anymore. I used to be, but I had the secretaries time it out. They took about a year of my messages. They're all about 28 minutes. And I can't believe that's all I preach, but I don't preach very long. But I do plan to get to a point. Real quickly today. We're in Acts chapter 26 today, and Acts 26, and then we'll complete our morning together and give away all the different things. We'll see a video and we'll be on our way. As you turn to Acts 26, there's a big life ahead of you, young people. Amen. Choose God. Amen. And choose Him for a lifetime. And you won't regret it, I promise you that. Our Father, I want to thank you so much for this incredible week. Monday seems like it was just yesterday, and yet it seems like it's so long ago as well. And we thank you for all that's happened. Thank you for these great teenagers. And Lord, the cause of Christ is going to be advanced because of them. I pray that you would get them anchored in the ministry, in their churches as teenagers. May they not waste the 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th, 11th, 12th. I pray that they'd just pour every bit of their fiber into this year, and that you'd use their youth group and their schools and all that they have for your glory. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his journey. In fact, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. The Apostle Paul is now being tried. He's standing before Felix. Who's he standing before? And as he stands before Felix, Felix listened to him and said, you need to go to Festus. So he went from Felix. He went from where? To where? And from Felix to? Now, you're not helping me very much, but that's what he helped. And Festus said, you know, you need to stand before Agrippa. He went as high as he could go. So he stood before, first of all, Felix. Talk to me. He stood before Felix. And then he went to? Yes. And then he went to? Yes. And Agrippa said, come on, Paul. Come up here. He's in the courtroom now, deity. So Agrippa thought. And as he sat there, stood there before Agrippa, he said, speak. Paul said, I'm happy. Oh, I'm so happy to speak before you, Agrippa, because I know you're an expert in the customs. I know all about you. And I'm just delighted to think that I can stand before a man of your caliber. He was buttering him up. He said, my manner of life, the way I lived, I was a Pharisee. I dotted the I, I crossed the T, I did everything that I could. And in fact, he goes, I got some orders to go arrest Christians and try Christians and hail Christians and persecute and even consenting under their death, these Christians. I did it because I thought it was the religious thing to do. He said one day, verse number 13, at Brother Flood, midday, at high noon, I'm on my way to Damascus. And at midday, look what it says here. At midday, I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me. And we're all falling to the earth. We fell down. And he said, my eyes went blind. I couldn't see. I didn't know what was going on. I heard a voice. And that voice said, Saul! Saul! That was Paul, whose name was changed to Paul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, he knew who he was. Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Bible says in verse number 18, to open their eyes. He says, for this purpose, verse 16, I've made you a minister, and to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and for the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. I was not disobedient, Agrippa. I went out and I began to preach the gospel. I was hailing people. I was imprisoning people. And now I'm just the opposite. And he went and he was blind. God restored his sight. You know what took place. Look what the Bible says. And here's our message today. Verse 24, 25. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And as he thus spake for himself, so Festus is making fun of him. He said, you're mad. I know you know five languages. I know you're very smart. But much, 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 much learning has made you mad. You're crazy. Agrippa said something else. What did Agrippa say? Verse 28. Ready? Begin. And Agrippa, almost. I want to speak to you for just a few moments on that word almost. Almost. I almost got saved. It was the last morning at youth conference. I almost trusted Christ, but I'm not going to. Almost I gave my life to God. Almost I'm going to serve him. Almost, but almost is not far enough. Almost means midway. It means high noon. But I've chosen, I'm not gonna go with God. I'm gonna go with myself. Our poor kids know this story. Please bear with me. It's January 1970. I was a sophomore in Bible college. And on that night, I went to bed, and I was in a room with about 50, 60 guys, just a giant room. We had barracks, and we had lockers from the army and desks from the army and beds from the army that they got at a surplus. And I went to bed that night, and Bill did what he did every night, but not that night. Every night, Bill, he was kind of a goofball in our school. And Bill was not really well liked, and he was a stutter and a stammer. He would stutter so, I mean, during the day he would stutter, but at night he'd go to sleep. He slept on the top bunk. I was at the back of the room. He's at the front. He'd stand on top of his bed. And it said, the Bible says he must be born again. No stuttering. He got up every night in his sleep, and he began to stand on top of his bed and began to preach the word of God like a flaming evangelist. And it was an amazing thing to hear him preach. And he'd preach and he'd call and he'd beg for sinners to come. During the day, people made fun of him. One night, he didn't preach. I got up the next morning and everything of Bill's was gone. He had packed up in the middle of the night and left. I don't know whatever became of him. I doubt if he's still alive. That's 55 years ago. He left college in the middle of the night. He almost was going to be used of God, but not quite. I'm going to my first hour of class that next morning, a music theory 3 class. And I was going to class at 7:10 in the morning. Gary came to me and said, Jack, I'm leaving college. Bill left last night. I'm leaving right now. I said, Gary, you can't leave right now. But he didn't know that he was putting a seed in my heart because I was going to leave college. I was going to go to my class. And second hour, everybody was out of the dorm. All 50, 60 guys. I didn't have a class. There was only 7 of us in that music theory 3 class. And everybody else had a class. And I, sure enough, I came back after that class, about 8 o'clock, and Gary was gone. I had enough sense. I learned this in high school. I wasn't good at it, Brother Fanera. I wasn't good at all at reading my Bible and praying. I traveled for the college the year before. I was the first singing group out. I was the president of my freshman class. But I just knew God could not use someone like me. I had English 99, no credit, wasn't smart. I just stuttered. I'd get nervous. I'd start to stutter, stammer. I'd break out in a red face. I'd sweat. I had to speak. I just knew that God did not want me in the ministry. And young people, I went back to my room that day, second hour, 8 o'clock in the morning, nobody's there. And I said, Lord, I'm going to read my Bible, have my prayer life, and I'm going to pack up and I'm going to leave. I was reading that day my Bible reading from Jeremiah 12, 1970, the end of January. I was looking over a snow-covered field as I read the Word of God. And as I read the Word of God, it said in Jeremiah 12, 5, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? I wanted to leave and go to Vietnam. I wanted to be a Marine. I wanted to fight for America. My buddies at home, they were all leaving. Gary went, another Gary, not the same one I was talking about, another Gary went to Vietnam, and I remember after about 6 months, he came back home all shot up. They had a 2x4 cast on him, held his arm up in the air, and he could hardly walk, and I remember seeing that. I want to go to Vietnam. And I read that verse, if thou hast run with the footmen, and I wrote in my Bible, if I'm in Bible college and can't make it here, I can't make it in Vietnam. You know, young people, that was my almost experience. Tabitha, you wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't have married your mother. I wouldn't be here today. There would be no youth conference today. Almost. I mean, I was right on the verge of giving it all up because of fear and being afraid and being tired and all of that. Almost. It was my midday. You're having a midday experience today, young people. You have to decide today. I'm going to get in this thing. I'm going to stop being a fake and a phony. I'm going to stop being a fake and a phony. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have ups and downs, yes, and I'll have some days more spiritual than others, but I am in. My youth can count on me. I know I'm only a 7th grader. I know I'm only a 10th grader. I know I'm a high school senior, but I'm in this thing, not almost in. Agrippa said, almost, you persuadest me to be a Christian, but I'm not in. I think of what took place within the next week. I've got it in my office. Churches 55 years ago, we didn't have letterheads. You know, North Valley Baptist Church, Central Valley Baptist Church. You didn't have letterheads. The pastor at Berean Baptist Church in Rockford, Illinois, He had a blank piece of white paper, and there was no electric typewriters, no computers, none. Yeah, everybody had a manual typewriter. And you can see on the letter that was typed from Melvin Swanson, his secretary, Dory, who's with the Lord, and Melvin Swanson is with the Lord, and all of them are with the Lord. But you can see it was a manual typewriter. That's what I used all through college, a manual typewriter. I have every message ever preached in my college. I always took notes and then went back to my room and typed it, then went to the next class. The letter said this, "Dear Jack, I know you opened up a church in Platteville, Wisconsin. And I know you've been the music director over there at Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. But I'd like you to come and candidate for two positions in our church. I'd like you to be our music director of our ministry. I'd like you to be our janitor of our church while you're finishing up college." That happened, I probably could figure it out, but probably 10 days after I said, "I'm going to stay in college." Brother Jackson, you know what happened? I went to the Berean Baptist Church on a Saturday morning in February. I believe it was February the 5th, 1970. I walked in that auditorium and I this church we opened up in Wisconsin, we had 7 people there the first Sunday. I was scared to death. I walked in this church and it said record attendance 779 on the board. It scared me to death. I'm in the big auditorium. It's a huge auditorium. I'm in that auditorium and Dwayne came in, and Dwayne Swanson, I said, "Dwayne," I met him and I said, he goes, "I'm the pastor's son. I'm in the army. I'm just home on a leave." Dwayne was so kind to me. He said, "Jack, I'm so glad you're here. If you get voted in, you're going to love it here at Berean Baptist." I got voted in. Dwayne later became my brother-in-law. I just laid him to rest in December. He died of cancer. You know, that decision I almost missed it. I went to that church, the pastor's wife, 45, had just passed away. I'd been praying for her. I didn't know her, but I've been praying that God let her live. She had 8 kids. She had an older daughter, Cynthia, who was in Bible college, and she came home to raise the little kids, the 5-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 8-year-old, the 11-year-old. She worked at the IGA store and then did all the laundry and did all the cooking and did everything she could to raise those kids for God. I didn't like her. She didn't like me. Her dad said, "Jack's going to be here on Saturday morning for junior choir, and you're going to play the piano." And she goes, "I don't want to play, Dad." And he goes, "You're going to play." And she played. She didn't like me. I didn't like her. And then 1 year later, God opened her blind eyes to what the hunk she had. And you know, after that first date, her dad was paying me $25 a week. We went to the bank and I put my $25 on a Wednesday night in the bank. She said, I was driving a 65 Ford, big old bench seat. I'm over here behind the steering wheel. She's over here hugging the door. And she said, what did I do wrong? Why are you mad at me? I said, I'm not mad at you. I just wanted to, Sam, I just want to be with you. That's all. I want to just be with you. I turned the corner and she slid right on over, crushing me. She was after me. She was after me, fellas. You know, 9 months to the day almost after that ride to the bank, we were married. We've been married for 52 years now. Pastors, I almost lost it. I almost missed it. Pastor, I almost missed it. I was a decision away. I was going to my room to read my Bible and pray and get in the car and leave college. I almost missed that. We've had such a wonderful marriage. She's been sick all year with cancer. And boy, I tell you, I've tried to be there through the night, through the day, last night. We had quite a night last night. I just have tried to be there for her. She's been such a good wife to me. such a good wife. We've been here 50 years. She's part of all of this. I saw her Monday night come in and she sat back there. She couldn't make it last night. You know, I almost missed it. I almost missed Cindy Swanson. Just about missed it. Almost. Almost, but not quite far enough. Let me start to close. There was a preacher here 40 years ago. In fact, there are two preachers here. On Thursday night, a pastor's conference. The one preacher preached. He was the pastor of the largest church in America. He preached, and another man came forward and said, "Brother Jack, I need to see you tonight. I need to see you when the conference is over." I said, "Well, it's going to be a long time. It'll be an hour, hour and a half before I can talk to you." He said, "I'll talk to you. I'll wait." We went in my study that night, and he said, "That preacher that just preached and me, we're the exact same age. We're both 65 years of age." He said, "That preacher went forward and surrendered to preach the word of God." He gave the date. He goes, "I went forward on the exact same date. But I always said no to God. I surrendered to God and then took my life back." He said, "Now, looking back, he's been 65 years. He's been in the ministry preaching the word of God. I've had four marriages, I can't remember, but he's three or four marriages." He said, I've never done anything for God." And I said, "Well, sir, it's not too late. I don't know what God has for you. I don't think you're going to preach again, but you could serve God." He goes, "It's too late, Jack. I've lost it. Almost, you're almost ready to get saved, but you're going to walk out these doors still lost. I doubt if you'll ever get saved when you walk out these doors. Satan will harden your heart. Are you saved?" What he preached about last night, the rapture of the church, we are so close. Israel today, Egypt today, Egypt's going to come up from the south into Israel, and Russia's going to come from the north, and China's going to come from the east, and the federation of states and countries from the west through the Mediterranean, and we're all going to come to a place called Armageddon. And if you're without Christ, you'll not get saved. Oh, I know there'll be some that have never heard what you're hearing right now, and in their tribulation they'll get saved. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations and people and kindred and tongues, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in the hand. And I said, "Whose are these, and whence came they?" "These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They will be beheaded, they'll be killed as a result of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it won't be you, because you will be sent to strong delusion," 2 Thessalonians 2. "You've rejected." Almost I got saved. Almost I said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." It was 1871. A very successful musician. This is not a lot of money today, but in that day, he was making $3,000 to $5,000 a year. He was very wealthy. He was writing secular music. He ran across a fellow by the name of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody said, "You ought to give your life to God." He said, "Oh, no, I'm not." That night, as Moody preached, he preached on, "You're almost in, but you're not quite, are you? You're almost going to be saved, but you're not going to get saved. Almost!" And that night the invitation was given, and just scores, hundreds of people came to Christ and got saved. He went home and wrote the song, page 295, "Almost Persuaded." Almost persuaded. He said, "I'm saved." His name was Philip Bliss. "I'm saved, but I'm using my talents for self. I need to use my talent for God. He and Dr. Whittle became a great evangelist, and another, three of them, all three came forward and surrendered that night. The next morning, they gathered together for about a three-hour prayer meeting, just praying that God would use them. He decided to leave the industry of music, and he began to travel with D.L. Moody, and he wrote that song, and Moody said, we sang it all over America, Almost Persuaded. Are you persuaded today for salvation? Are you persuaded? God could use you, man. Most of you think, God could use me as a great preacher. Yeah, you're not the one God's probably going to use. If you can't see it, you're probably the one that God's going to use. Don't be an almost Christian.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.